here with Braden Gall, writer for Athlon Sports and host on Sirius XM as we continue our coverage from SEC Media Day here in Birmingham, Alabama. And Braden, so far, has the expectation lived up to the hype? We haven't gotten much so far.
No, and you don't really. I'm trying to come up with things to like tweet. I'm like, what can I tweet? There's got to be something here. Like, and it's really, there really hasn't been anything. On the first day, you had a little bit of the Florida players maybe kind of feeling disrespected and all the hype around Tennessee, but otherwise you really haven't had a whole lot of news. We never really do. What I love the most, though, about this event, and I think we saw a lot of that on day one with Vanderbilt, especially Vanderbilt, is the personalities of the players. You get to meet them and talk with them and get to know them, and I think you rarely get to do that during the season. Coaches keep them very, under lock and key, and I think it's fun to see really fun, energetic, entertaining, intelligent young people. Gives you a little hope for the future, and you get to see guys like Oren Burks talk about what he's doing on his campus and in community to make a difference. So I think the real fun of this event is actually the getting to meet the players and kind of some of those personalities, the Malcolm Mitchells and Chris Conleys of the world that have come forward.
You mentioned personalities. First SEC Media Day in 12 years without Steve Spurrier. You have a favorite Spurrier line or remembrance from him being here?
Oh, man, there's so many. As a graduate of a school in the East that he liked to pick on frequently, I have many, many, many Spurrier one-liners that he's used over the years, and obviously the Florida State Free Shoes U and Citrus Bowl without UT, and, I mean, picking on, Coach Goof at Georgia there instead of Ray Goff, so... There's so many, and what I love, my favorite one personally that I experienced was the when he was talking about Davy Crockett and all the guys going down. I think somebody had asked him about like the A&M South Carolina rivalry a couple years ago. Like, is that it feels contrived or what? Something along those lines. And he was like, well, last time I checked, all them boys from Tennessee went down to Texas and got killed. And like, there's nobody who can say it like he says it. They got killed and whatnot, and you're like, wait a second, coach, you just referred to a bunch of people dying. Like, nobody does it like he does, and I do think they need to move Brett Bielema to day one, because I think Brett Bielema is the most entertaining coach we've got in this league, and I think his just brutal honesty is just absolutely awesome. He's already had two gems at SEC Media Days with the Bijan Jackson and with the borderline erotic taking a knee. He's just brilliant. He's radio gold, and I think he needs to be on day one to get things started, because then everybody's in a better mood after that.
Let's the guy who replaces Steve Spurrier, Will Muschamp. Let's for your general thoughts, and again, we're joined this morning by Braden Gall of Athlon Sports, writer for Athlon Sports and radio host for Sirius XM, but Muschamp steps in. Your thoughts just overall on that hire?
Well, a little surprising, I think, and I think you could do a whole 30 for 30 on how that hire went down and who they were talking to and who they thought they had and how it ended up with Muschamp. I think there's a couple things. One, it's tough to see how someone, because Florida kind of has more of everything, right? I mean, Florida and South Carolina are virtually identical when it comes to schedule, who they're going to play every year. And Florida kind of has more of everything, more history, more tradition, more of everything, more recruiting base. So how is a guy going to win at a high level with less of everything in basically the exact same situation? That's a question. I do think he's learned from his first year at South Carolina. He hired a guy that he should have hired in his first year at Florida, but he didn't until the fourth year, and that's Kurt Roper. I think that was the right decision. So I think you can see the learning process for Will Muschamp already right away, which is great. I also think there's a weird perception of him from a fan base standpoint, because they just see him on the field and how kind of he looked all like, the crazy lunatic on the sideline. I don't think he's like that in person at all. I think you guys probably know this better than I do. He seems to be pretty affable and laid back and a mellow and well-respected, pretty nice dude off the field. It's just on game day he kind of has that mentality. So I think he's got his work cut out for him. I think the roster's in pretty rough shape, top to bottom. I think it might be the worst in the conference, which is saying a lot. And so I think he's going to have a long battle, but I think he's clearly learned from his first tenure at Florida, and those are the things you're looking for. He's learned. He's made a great hire. He's built a good staff. That's the first step. After that, you just got to kind of grind every day to see what you can get.
What's a fair expectation if you're a Gamecock fan this year for the record? Is it just making it to a bowl?
I guess so. I don't want to like depress everybody, but the good news is that the bottom four teams in the East are all interchangeable, and if you win a couple of those games, you're going to a bowl game probably, and you're probably going to finish fourth. And if you can beat Vanderbilt, beat Missouri, beat Kentucky, which is all very possible, especially week one where Vanderbilt struggled in that game traditionally, if you can beat those teams, you can get to six wins, you can get to a bowl game, and I think I think the world would be praising Will Muschamp and the job he did this year if they get to six games, because I do think that right now I would probably have South Carolina near the bottom of that pack.
Braden Gall joining us again this morning here as we talk about what's going on at SEC Media Day here in Birmingham. The team that you cover very closely, or that you are familiar with, Tennessee, are they better than Georgia, or is it because of Josh Dobbs coming back this year and Georgia not having a quarterback that you think they're getting the edge or likely get the edge this week?
Well, I actually have Florida as the top contender to Tennessee. I think Georgia, there's a lot of unknowns. I believe in Kirby Smart, but he's an unknown. I believe in Jacob Eason, but he's an unknown. I believe in Nick Chubb, but he's an unknown with the health. The front seven's totally rebuilt for Georgia. So I actually think Florida's in a better situation to challenge. They've also got that mental edge over Tennessee. They've won 11 straight. They're all the defending champs. Jim McElwain, I think, is brilliant. I think their coaching staff is brilliant. So I think Florida's in really good shape to kind of be the top challenger, except for Georgia. But I do think those three are at the top. Now, with Tennessee, you can't find reasons to pick against Tennessee. I mean, you look at the roster and you go, all right, it's the best offense in the division. It's the best quarterback in the division. It's maybe the best coaching staff in the division. It's the best defense in the division. It's the best offensive line maybe in the division. It's the best running game in the division. They get Alabama and Florida both at home. Playing at Georgia and at A&M are going to be very, very tricky. Certainly the South Carolina game is always fun no matter what happens. But it's hard to find a reason. I mean, if your only reason to pick against Tennessee is that they haven't done it yet, that's a pretty flimsy reason, because they played extremely well in close games against really good teams last year, and they just came 2 points short, 1 point short, 4 points short. So there's really no reason to pick against Tennessee. Like, you try to find things. But if I was going to do it, and I had to take Tennessee off the table, I think I would actually go with Florida over Georgia.
The schedule is what stands out to me. Like you said, those four games – look, I'm not, we live in South Carolina. I'm not going to say that that's a tough one, but they've been close the last few years. Jarrell Adams doesn't fumble last year. Who knows how that game goes out, but the schedule, very, very difficult. You look across the division at the West, better hot seat or hotter hot seat, Les Miles or Kevin Sumlin?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Or should I throw Gus Malzahn in there as well to give you a third option?
That's all three. I mean, Mark Stoops in the West, those are the three. Man, that's a great question. I think LSU's too good for him to get fired this year. I think they're, unless Jimbo Fisher decides to come down off his asking price, I would say Les Miles. And they're going to be really good. I don't think they win the division, but I think they're going to be really good. Auburn, when Auburn goes bad, it goes really bad. I mean, when things fall apart on the Plains, you literally go 0-8. So Auburn's in trouble, but they got a lot of talent on defense. I'm not sure about the Kevin Steele hire. Someone, I think, because I like A&M to be better, I guess I'm going to have to go Gus Malzahn, in that equation. I think all of them are back. If you ask me, hey, you're a gambling man, who do you think's back? I think all three of them are back. Barring an 0-8 collapse on the Plains, I think all of them are back. There's enough cachet, I think, built up with all of them that they're probably all back. I think Mark Stoops is the most in danger in the SEC, and maybe Derek Mason. But I think both those teams could get to a bowl game, and then that would end that discussion right away. So. That's a great question about the West, though.
You mentioned Derek Mason. Real quick, just your thoughts on that opener, Vander. That's a big one for both teams. For Derek Mason, obviously, for South Carolina to not, it's the perception. You lose to Vanderbilt in the opener. Oh, boy. Your thoughts on that opener with those two teams?
First of all, Vanderbilt's defense is really, really good. I mean, they have All-Americans at a couple different positions potentially. So that is – and I think this is going to be the case with every game in the East, really, is there are a lot of 17-13 games. I mean, there's going to be a lot – if you can win with defense – and win 17-13, you're going to win a lot of games in the East. And I think Vanderbilt can do that. So can Missouri, for that matter. But Vanderbilt's defense is really good. So South Carolina is going to have to be good on offense right out of the gate on the road to beat Vanderbilt. Now, Vanderbilt traditionally has struggled a little bit in their opener. They lost to Western Kentucky last year. But that's a team that we have so many questions about the offense. I love Ralph Webb. I think he's a great player. But Kyle Shermer, how good is he on offense? How good is Andy Ludwig calling the plays? We've got to figure all that stuff out. But their proven commodity is their defense, and it's going to be a low-scoring, close game. So it's going to be about South Carolina playing good defense and then executing in a couple of key spots in the fourth quarter. And if they do that, they can win. They've come up to Nashville on opening weekend and won before. So they can do it. And, again, I think the round robin of those four with Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt, whoever wins that round robin will finish fourth and probably go to a bowl game. The other ones are probably on the outside looking in.
Braden Gall, again, SiriusXM host and writer for Athlon Sports. Before we let you go, just nationally, you do a great job covering nationally. You're kind of dark horse or two dark horses this year. We're talking Clemson. We're talking Alabama. LSU's up there. But who is a dark horse team or two that you're very excited to watch and see what they do this year and if they make a run to the college football playoff?
Well, Florida State's not a dark horse, but that's probably my pick to win the whole thing. I think Florida State and Alabama are probably the best two teams. I actually like Florida State slightly over Clemson. But if you're talking dark horse to kind of sneak into the playoff, that's not a prohibitive front runner powerhouse program like Florida State, I think Washington's one to watch. I think they can win the Pac-12. The question is, do they win the Pac-12 at 8-4, 9-3, or do they win the Pac-12 at 11-1? And obviously the difference being one's in the playoff conversation and one's not. I really like TCU. I think TCU is a very interesting team, great defensive coaching staff, and a great defense in terms of talent, returning starters. Nothing coming back on offense. We don't even know if Kenny Hill's the real deal or not. But TCU, like the Big 12 has got the easiest path. If they can beat Arkansas, which is a really awesome under-the-radar non-conference game, if TCU beats Arkansas, they'll have a good quality non-conference win. And if they can, you know, if they go 11-1 in the Big 12, they're probably going to get in. So I think TCU and Washington are probably teams that I would call sleepers, because I don't think Michigan is a sleeper. I don't think Florida State's a sleeper. I don't think those teams qualify. So I would go with, Washington, TCU. Just a lot of purple there.
He's Braden Gall with Athlon Sports and hosts SiriusXM. Today's Alabama Day. Any tips for how I handle this? I've been here before, but I've never been to any tips on how I handle this.
Just wear Auburn colors, just Auburn gear, Auburn logos. Have Auburn, have the War Eagle on your shoulder, like just Auburn everything, and you'll be fine. No. Actually, I do love the Ohio State guy from a couple years ago with the Ohio State trolling Nick Saban in Alabama. I would say duck and cover. I mean, it's stay upstairs if you can. Like, it's so crazy in the lobby when Nick Saban comes in here. And listen, bottom line is there's only one guy who's got four championships in the last 7 years. So I think he might be the greatest college football coach of all time. And he's treated as such in a state that values its college football more than pretty much everything else in the world. So he gets his treatment, and it's probably justified, I guess, but just duck and cover, man. Get out of the way.
He's Braden Gall. Thank you so much. Again, we look forward to maybe getting you back in the football season, talking some more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take care.